This is straight out of Crumpton with your host, Greg Crumpton.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Straight Out of Crumpton podcast. I'm Greg Crumpton, your host for the next 35, 40, 50 minutes. We'll see how that goes. And, you know, you have to be fluid. You have to kind of roll with the punches on a Monday, and it is a Monday, so we're going to roll with the punches. And today I've got a friend of mine on with us who we were figuring out what to call him, and we came up with this longtime friend and mechanical electrical solutions professional, Mr. Mike Donahue. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi, Greg. How you doing, man?
That is a heck of a title, man. We should like get that trademarked or something.
Indeed, right? Almost sounds good.
Well, Mike, I was trying to remember how many years we've known each other and fooled around with each other and consoled and chatted. So it's been a while. So
it has been a very long time. I can't remember really where we started. I don't know if it was in my Liebert days, my Carrier days.
I think it was Liebert, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So, or Vertiv, we have to say now.
Yeah, so we have to say Vertiv. Yeah.
All right. Well, before we get going, tell the crowd a little bit about you, a little bit of background, maybe just and one cool fact, just one.
Okay, that's easy. Let's see here. Let's start with generally what I do, what I am, and what I've been doing. Mechanical guy, data centers focused since 1985. I did it for the DOE and the U.S. Army. Then I got out of the Army in 96, and I went to work for Liebert. And from there on, been in the field working on cooling systems since then, and have not changed and haven't done anything differently. Yeah, so everything cooling. I love this industry. This industry is always changing. They're pushing the envelope, and it's fun. It's fun to be here. You're not doing the same thing every day. You know, you get to do something different and push the boundaries. That's why I like this industry we're in. Something interesting about me, let's see here. I was on the East-West German border when it came down.
What?
Yeah, I was actually stationed there on the border, and we started taking the fence down when we were allowed to.
Well, that is unique. I've never had a border wall terror downer on the show before. Welcome.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is. I love what you said about the industry. And in fact, a fellow just sent me an email a little bit earlier about he's going to be down in Orlando for the AHR show coming up in a month or so. And his partner is the one that connected us. And I said, man, this is such a great time to be in the mechanical world because, to your point, it is on fire with change. Literally. So I don't know. It's like we just snatched off the scab and we're fully exposed again of what's next. And I freaking love that.
For sure, man. It is going to be crazy. I'm looking forward to going down to the show and seeing what they have in the booths. I know our company's going to have a little booth there, and really excited about seeing what new stuff's coming out. See if any of the liquid's going to be on site. See what's going on there. And then we also, of course, have our meetings, right? Our 99.9 or 90.4 and 127.
But are you on all three of those?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm only on 9.9. So tell me, let me ask a question.
Sure.
Our industry, being the HVAC world, is kind of like a world away from the heat rejection world that we work in the data center, you know, cooling people versus removing heat out of a building or out of a product. Do you think that those things will ever come closer? Because to your point, I don't know how many liquid cooling people are going to be at AHR because they usually all go to supercompute. That's where I see most of that.
Right.
I just wonder, and I wonder about this from a technician standpoint, are we introducing enough people into heat rejection world that currently live in air conditioning world that could be really good at heat rejection world if we gave them the opportunity and or the exposure.
Yeah, I think if we could find a way to bridge that gap, right? I think there is a definite gap there. And I think a lot of people don't know what these big buildings that are on the side of the road are doing, and the, you know, and with all the mechanical equipment inside, you know. And I think it'd be a great opportunity if we can get that bridge built so people can come over and take a look and see what we're doing.
I mean, there's so much, and you know, we know this because we're in it a lot and talk about it, read about it all the time. But the change in heat rejection right now is at a pace that we haven't seen in a long time since we had to go to containment and all the rack hygiene that we had to go through to ensure air cooling was good for IT equipment. We're kind of turned the page now, and it just seems like I have struggled getting some of our people excited about the data center world. It's like, I don't know. I don't understand the hesitancy to dive in with both feet because I really like working indoors when it's really, really cold or really, really hot outside.
A perfect environment.
And you know, maybe that's just me, but I haven't been able to create the buzz within our companies that I thought I could. Now we've got some, we've got 53 companies that service Logic. So there's a vast, I mean, we're really good at data center in some places and we're not at others for a lack of market exposure. But man, I want to create that fire and create a group of technicians and engineers that are excited by that market. I've struggled getting that groundswell built.
That's interesting. I didn't, you know, because I only live in this world. I don't go outside this world anymore. And all I see is everybody coming into my w world. They're happy, right? They're doing their thing in industry. They're like, whoa, man, this is so much better than a tar rooftop any day, you know. Chillers, you know, whether it be water cooled, air cooled, whatever, you know. You get to work on all sorts of things, pumps, you know. Big stuff. And I think you know, it
And
beats
little
that.
stuff
Yeah,
down the
and little
quarter
stuff.
inch tubing, you know.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. And you know, I there were days where, you know, I used to work on those, not to knock it, but man, restaurants, I don't want to ever see a restaurant in my life again.
I always used to say that there's certain places I don't want to work. That's where you stay, where you pray, and where you eat. Those three things I'm good with because of being a contractor for so many years, those are places that were not good in my psyche. So but anyway, I'm hoping that we'll see some more crossover. I really am because with the onset of liquid cooling, be it immersion or direct-to-chip, there's so much more fun to be had and fun. You know, maybe that's relative to weirdo geeks like us, but you know, I think about going from a 500-ton chiller sitting in the yard all the way down to that, you know, matchbox size component that we're cooling on the board. And I just love that whole eco chain, but we'll get there one way or the other.
Yeah, I think we're also seeing the owners and operators starting to look a little closer at this. You know, they have to backfill their positions inside their organization. So someone has to do something. Everybody's identified we have the problem. Now someone needs to take action. And who needs these things are the people that need to take action, who need these individuals. You know, I'm not getting much younger.
Well, we go to the same barber, and there's a lot of guys that go to our barber, and you know, I think people are understanding the need for more people in the industry. You know, I support the industry in a couple of different ways, and one of them is trying to recruit, you know, people into the air conditioning industry. I work with the Nomad Futurist trying to help people understand the data center side. And in all fronts, people, to your point, they have seen the gap. They know they have a gap. And just last week, our company, Service Logic, we held a talent builder summit in Charlotte. And we had, I don't know, 60 people there. And it was the first time we came together to figure out, okay, what are you doing to develop your talent? What are you doing? Because we're so decentralized, we don't have a blanket program, which is great. So we tried to come together and just say, okay, what's working here? What's working there? And just kind of build a baseline and then going forward, build off of that baseline. Whether it be, we have a 4-year apprenticeship that is DOL approved that our non-union companies can participate in, which is about half our companies are non-union, and then the other half have the union apprenticeship opportunity. But there, with the union shops, they don't have people either, so they're recruiting just like we are. So it's just a very kind of a point in time to where things are coming together and people are getting aligned on what we need. And then this morning I was listening to the news. Obviously, this is going to date the thing, but today's the 13th of January. And I don't care. I mean, it's real life. The wildfires in California are totally, devastating that state. And the build back of what's going to be required to build, I think there's already 13,000 structures that have been burnt. That's not a overnight rebuild. That's a years long effort. But I think about how do we get the craftspeople to do it? How many plumbers, electricians, carpenters, masons, roofers, all of that required to build that city back. And then throw in there that we've got the Olympics coming to town in 4 years to LA. So, having lived in Atlanta during the 1996 Olympics, I remember the effort that was put in then, and obviously it's on steroids since then, just from a production of what all they do to showcase the Olympics. But just back in 96, we didn't have a labor shortage, or I didn't know about it, maybe if we did. But the amount of work that went into that city just for the Olympic prep, let alone having to rebuild from devastating fires, I don't know. It's gonna be a sticky wicket, as my friends across the pond say.
Oh yeah, for sure. I was in Savannah during that. So yeah, I feel you. And the fires are no joke, and th those were a lot of custom homes too, right? Built to specifications. Some might even had three-phase power to them,
I suspect they did.
And that's going to be quite something. Now, I mean, what, 2 years ago I had 1 million acres out here burn. But I think we lost a town. But no one got killed. But we did lose a small town, and their homes and everything, naturally, and that sucked. But they've rebuilt and moving along. But it takes a while. To your point, where are we going to get the tradespeople to do all this stuff? I don't know.
I don't either. I don't either. And I know, and I've said this a lot lately. It's probably wearing on people, but to me, it's a national security event when our situation, because we have to be able to care for ourselves, infrastructure wise, military wise, building wise. And this morning, I read an article where the Department of Defense had allocated so much refrigerant that they have to have R410, 134A, and 2022 to stockpile because of all the infrastructure the U.S. government has that has to be maintained for national security issues or reasons. And if we don't have the people to look after our commercial world, we have to be thinking about that homeland security aspect as well.
100%, right? I mean, it affects every stretch of our life. That's why I kind of went into this business. It's, economy proof, right? If the economy goes up or down, people still got to have refrigerated food. People still got to be heated. People still got to be
Yeah.
cool. There are people that are going to need things. It's just creature comfort. We like that stuff. So that's why I always chose this trade. And I went through this thing, I think back in 84. Yeah, 84. I couldn't find a program or a company to hire me. There was a job shortage. The economy was tanking. All the oil rigs were shut down and all that good stuff. And I actually worked for an oil company, and they laid us all off, and couldn't find work. If you wanted to do something like McDonald's or something like that, there was a line of 150 people outside to fill out the application. A lot of people don't remember those days.
Where were you then?
I was in Louisiana.
Okay.
Yeah. I live in Louisiana, and the only people hiring was U.S. Army, so
Yeah.
that's where I ended up. And at the end of the day, there was no programs. I could remember that. And now today, I have a and where I was going with the story is I have a young man right now, 18 years old, fresh out of high school. Parents say, you got to move on. Where does he move on to? Where do I take this 18-year-old? He can't rent a car. He can't rent a hotel. But he can die for his country. I don't know.
And can't have a beer celebrating doing that. I've got a guy in that shape right now, who's going to a local tech school here in Greenville, and I was able to get him a job at a mechanical as a first year helper. It's not one of our companies, it's just a local Greenville company, but I'm like, dude, you got to figure this out. And the only way you're going to get OJT is OJT on the job. So it worked out. But to your point, we hear a lot of people squawking about the trades or squawking about lack of manpower. But how many are actually putting effort towards it versus just saying we don't have enough?
Right. Yeah, 100%. And that's I live out here where we have all these ranches, and these fellows work on the ranches during the summer, during their high school. They're hard workers. They're just looking for their next phase in life, right? They need to move on, and they don't want to do ranching. So,
I'm a huge believer that there are such a good, I say glump. I don't know what glump is, but a category, a group of people that are 18, 20-year-olds right now that are hard workers that want to get out here and make it happen. We've got a landscaper. The kid, when before he was out of high school, he'd already started his company, and now he's been out a year. Year and a half now, and he's making a living and got three or four workers with him. Henry, the kid I was talking about going to the tech school, he started a business when he was in high school, mobile car detailing. I mean, I don't care what you do, but having the gumption to get out and do it is, I think there's a lot of that out there, and we just haven't exposed them very well to all the different avenues of
I
so
agree with you. And I think it falls on us as tradespeople to get into the schools just like the colleges did, and say, hey, we're over here, if you're interested, whether whatever your gender is, we're over here. We got something going on that you might be interested in that you won't go into over debt in, and feed your family and get started quickly.
Well, I get the business aspect of it. I understand that, margins are margins and you want to make money as an owner, but you have to reinvest in your system, meaning you got to bring kids through. And yes, you're going to have unbillable time. And yes, you're going to have costs tied up in the effort. But if you build it well and you make your place somewhere where they want to work, you're gonna be rewarded for your efforts way beyond the cost of that first year of partial billing. And, I mean, our company's private equity backed, and profits are important to them. But they also understand that you have to invest in your people in order to have revenues later. You can't keep winding the rubber band tighter and tighter and tighter with your same staff, expecting, we grow organically like every other company. And our organic growth in the mechanical world is revenue broken down per truck. And if you're going to have $250,000 in revenue or 300, however you want to slice it, somewhere in that ballpark between 250 and $400,000 in revenue per truck, and you want to grow 10%, well, do the math. I've seen projections where people need 1,000 technicians next year. You got to grow those. You can't just run out. You can't steal 1,000 technicians, even if you get unlimited pay.
They want the 1,000 technicians and recognize the revenue as such. It doesn't work. That equation's not going to work.
So, and it's easy to sit back and pontificate about it without having to write the check. But, I've written the check before, and I know what it costs to put kids through tech school or kids through union school. I've done it. And if you do it right, I just had a call last week. One of our employees that was there early at Airtight just had his 24th anniversary there. And this man came to us as a welder out of a fab shop that did not know what hardly what a pipe was, much less a refrigeration duct system. And he just celebrated 24 years, but we invested in him all along. And that's what it takes.
Well, yeah, I agree with you 100%, man. This is where it's at. I think the workers are available now. I think that everybody keeps having this connotation. They're all sitting in their basements gaming. No, some
They're
are,
doing well, they're doing crappy jobs nobody wants to do because that's what they're doing.
And those are the hustlers.
Absolutely. I mean, and I've said it on here before. You go to the car wash, you go to the restaurant, you see who's got it going on. And when you see it, give them a dang business card. Like, you hustle, I'd like to talk to you.
And
That's as
you can
hard as
see
it
it
gets.
anywhere you're at. You can see where people are hustling in a
And if they're
in a
truly a hustler, they'll call you.
yeah one yep exactly
And maybe it's not them. Maybe it's the kid they go to church with, or maybe it's the kid they play basketball with. But you're getting one more, outreach to the universe every time you do it.
And especially when you hit them right, and you get one, and you're like, "Oh, right, this guy's really working out. Hey, you got any friends that might be looking?" And you check them out, and they're usually pretty much the same, right? They're all cut from the same cloth usually if they're all hanging out together,
That's
because
right.
hustlers
That's
don't
right.
move around with anything
Well,
who doesn't want to work.
exactly. I don't know. We just got to keep digging. We got to keep digging at it. And
100,
if everybody that knows the situation we're in would grab a kid or two and put them under their wing and help get them started, we would be in so much of a better place if we all did that. Just
Oh, I think so for
pick
sure,
a
yeah.
kid or two and say, I'm walking you across the threshold to our industry. Whatever that looks like. So, all right, you mentioned a while ago where you work now. Tell us about what you do now, Mike. I find it so interesting.
Right now I work for a company called Infinitum. A lot of people don't know who Infinitum is. Infinitum is a fan motor company. We build PCB fans, which are printed circuit board fans. We don't have the AC induction motor, the whole thing. And you okay?
Yeah, I was looking for my printed circuit board.
Oh, right on. Oh, yeah, let me grab one here.
I've got, there you go. That's what mine's hanging. I see it now hanging in the closet.
So yeah, that's our motor. if you picture an AC induction motor, it's going to be this big thing. This is all in here.
And for you guys who can't see it, it's about the size of a compact disc,
Yeah.
if you remember what those are. But so what's the advantages of going with this motor technology? What, why is it invented? What's the point?
I think one, mainly one of the reasons we brought the motor to the market, especially towards the data center market, is they needed another fan motor company who would work with the companies, not shorten the lead times, and as well as have something that's serviceable. They were tired of they have sustainability goals. They were tired of boxing these motors up and shipping them to the dump, and our motors can be rebuilt. So that's one of the things that everybody likes. Smaller spare parts packages, as well as the whole, like I said, the whole sustainability. And we can actually save some real energy even against the EC fan motors. So we're going to have a docket coming out here. A white paper should be released tomorrow, explaining the benefits of our motors versus EC or AC induction motors. And you guys can take a look at that and see where we're landing. What we're trying to do is take some of the power out of the cooling system so you can redistribute it someplace else in your data center. So if I can right size your motor, instead of you using a 10 horsepower, I could right size it to a 7 horsepower with a different blower and lower RPM. Hey, you're going to win probably about 5 amps, and you can take that 5 amps and put it someplace else.
Go compute with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do. And I think we have a good story. I think we have a again, our motors are, like I said, sustainable. So if you're done with it, you can ship it back to us. We'll rebuild the casing. We'll take one defective part out and we'll rebuild it again.
Well, I've seen more and more, online stories and little shots of work that y'all have been involved with where the motors are going in. Are those mostly replacing AC fans or a PAPS type fan, or what do you see your market being right now? Where are you winning?
Right now, we're winning in the fan wall spaces. So anybody who's building or creating those, that's where we're winning right now. Now we're starting to look at the retrofit market, where their AC induction motors are sitting in certain cracks or craws or air handlers or whatever systems they're using. And we're ripping those AC induction motors out and putting ours in replace of that. So
You
that's where we're
know,
seeing.
a few years ago now, Liebert came out with that EC fan retrofit kit.
And Stulz had one too.
Yeah, that's right. Stulz did. You could, yeah. Is that an option with your stuff, or how have y'all looked at that market?
We've looked at it. We're not going to do the box. We're going to do kind of the same motor mount that's already existing in the motors and try to drive the same thing.
Gotcha.
Now, if you're looking at the lead competitor out there who had the old belt-driven spring-loaded motor mount, that's going to have to be a totally different design, right? So we're going to have to put a bracket in there, and and then it will hold our motor. But yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward. There's not too much to it. And then what's great about our motors, the VFDs are built in, and I think end of this month we're going to release also our 5% harmonics suppression. So the motor will be suppressing its own, so it won't be creating any more harmonics at all. And
Nice.
so it's all going to be built in the motor. So think about the e-box not having to have a inverter
Yeah.
or
Big
anything, or
deal.
VFD or anything. You got all that space up there, and this comes pre-whipped. We'll whip it up into the thing, and off you go with a 2-year warranty.
What really is cool about your motors is the actual physical motor. It's so much different than
Right.
a big old chunk of iron and copper.
I mean,
So cool.
so much less raw natural materials are going into this, right? So it's pretty cool motor. I think it's really cool stuff. And we're getting into the pump market. We're doing some stuff with Armstrong. You guys will see that in ASHRAE. You'll see us in their booth and them in our booth. So we're moving along
I've
with
seen some
Armstrong.
sneaky peekies from Armstrong on that.
Yeah. So,
That's
yep,
pretty
we're doing
cool.
some stuff. We're moving along quite well. We're focused a little bit into the liquid cooling. That seems to be a good spot for us to place as well. And we're looking at that very closely. We're working with most of the vendors that do build a CDU, and even everybody and their brother who never built a CDU wants to build a CDU, which is getting really
Yes.
wild.
That, and I don't know. There's a lot of smart people in the CDU market, but the CDU is not a really smart box. I mean,
No.
let's be honest with what it is. It's two pumps and a heat exchanger.
That's
And
correct.
maybe that's why everybody's doing it, is because it is a market that has a huge lead time. People, as you know, they like to build data centers all of the same brand.
Right.
Maybe that's part of it, but I mean, not to be boastful, but I think I could build a CDU pretty quickly in my garage with a couple of motors, a Correll controller, and a plate and frame. But that's just me, or brake.
I no doubt I could do it.
But I just think it's funny that everybody's doing
Yeah.
it, and but I'm sure that there's a business case to be made for why, but
I think what we're seeing too is we're seeing some of the big boys in the market wanting to build their own because they don't want the manufacturers all this whiz bang stuff. They don't want all the, it's a pump. It's a pump. It's a heat
yeah, let's
exchanger.
not overcomplicate
Yeah, and they're overcomplicating it. So they
it.
want that less whiz bang and more just work,
Well, if you think about it, if you strip it down and get it to its base core functionality, you can buy two for one and have redundancy without the added cost.
Yeah. Well, yep. Exactly. Yeah. So,
All right.
it's definitely an interesting world to be in. Yeah.
I love it. I freaking love it. Tell me about the Army, and did you have somebody in your Army life that gave you a good rule book for going forward, or did you have a good rule book when you got to the Army, or how did that influence you as a human?
Well, I worked for a full bird colonel who was extraordinary. Let's put it that way. His name was John Abrams. He is the son of Abrams,
The
and
tank guy? Oh, cool.
and he didn't take no crap. And his famous line was, "Shit happens, deal with it." Just no crying. And just the way he approached everything, he gave us, lots of insight to, keep charging. You can't stop. You got to keep going. And so yeah, and living on the East-West German border like we did, we were always told we had a 6 second life expectancy if they decide to come. So this was to fill the gap. A lot of people who read Tom Clancy might know that. So that's where I was stationed. So we were right on the border, right with the other guys, and they would, buzz us on Friday night with a jet, and we'd have to go run up there with the tanks and all that crap, and screw our Friday nights up. Yeah, that they do that a lot.
Mess your beer stein night up, huh?
Yeah, mess up our nights for sure. But yeah, I think he did, as well as another major, taught me more about tactical. I worked for Major Brescia, and he was a tactical guy. He did battlefield planning and logistics, and he planned the whole battle for the unit underneath the colonel. And yeah, I learned a lot about assuming and having plans. Assume the battle's going to go this way. This is what we're planning, but assume that we're going to go this way, or we're going to go another way, based
How
on
far
what comes.
down the alphabet did he go? Plan B and C, and how far
We
down?
went pretty far. We always had something
Yeah,
already like down 7 or 8 different plans of attack. And then, we would only release like three to the commanders, and then we would have the other ones held back until, we needed to do something else. Yep.
I think in life that's important. as we go down these trails that we think are going to end up like this, and to the general's point, okay, it didn't work. We're going to go this way, and there's no crying in war. Let's go. I mean, you really, and I don't know whether it's age, or hopefully some maturity on my part, but it really shouldn't be emotional. It really should be a tactical decision if it's that important to you, because the things that are that important, and I think about the fire situation in California, you have to know what's next. You have to be planning at all times. And obviously we saw this coming. Apparently, from the studies and everything that I've been able to understand, this has been foretold that you're sitting on a box of kindling, so to speak. You got to have a plan, and like the guys that had a generator and a pump, and they emptied their pool and they kept their house and their property from cooking. That to me is, my wife said, that's something like you would do. I'm like, I would hope so, because I would want to have coverage of some variety, or at least something. And I'm not at all trying to be a hero here, because I didn't go through that mess. I just think that having different options is important when you're navigating life, period.
And it's so funny you mentioned that, because I took it as a tactical experience here when I got to Reno. I have a little ranch out here. We got like 18 horses. We have a lot of animals and critters, and we have fires here too. And we had a plane coming over 3 years back that was dropping flame retardant all over the place. And I did the same thing. I said, you know what? This is not going to happen to me again. I had a little gas generator. I got the whole house generator now. I could run my well. I got my defensible spaces. Everything is all in place. My other neighbors, they seem to start building their defensible spaces when the fire's coming over the ridge. And I'm like, no, man, you got to be ready now. So yeah, now I see them all doing it because the insurance company out here is saying, if you don't have a defensible space, we're not insuring you. So now everybody's cutting their defensible spaces here, but mine's already done.
So what does that mean, building a non fl or a buffer around the property where you can?
I have about a 10 to 12 foot buffer all the way around my property. So I have 20 acres, and that's what's all the way around it. So I just hire a guy with his skid steer, and he's got this mulcher in the front of it. He just tears everything up, and that gives me my fight. And then I've pulled some pumps, not pumps, but spigots from my main pump up at the house, all the way down to the bottom of the property, so we can start fighting fire there. And then we have the house is 100% surrounded with gravel because we do live in the high desert, and our summers are like 19% relative humidity. That's a humid day.
Yeah,
So,
that's a spark waiting to happen, isn't it?
oh yeah, but hey, it is what it is. It's beautiful out here.
Well, going back to the skid steer with the mulcher, I think those are awesome. I would like to have one, although I don't need one. The power company uses them here for clearing right of way, and those things are just like a freaking beast. I love them.
I hear him out here.
So he just makes laps on your fence line. That's cool. Well, Mike, this has been good. I know we've covered a wide variety of topics, as we usually do on this crazy show of ours, but it's good to just gain your perspective on a few things. I love the fact that you're still a geek of the industry like I am. And I say that with a huge heart, because I know you do love and appreciate what we get to do. And we get to do it with a lot of the same people differently, which is another unique thing. I was going to tell you too, I had a conversation maybe last Thursday. A friend of mine, Ken Nix, called me from Ken Nix and Associates. Ken called, and he said, man, I had one of those moments today. And I said, what happened? He said, I was on the phone with some people from Schneider Electric, And there was some guy on there named Jake Ashenbrenner. And said,
Oh.
really? He said, yeah. So after the call, I had to call the kid back and ask him if he knew a guy named Jeff Ashenbrenner. And he said, yeah, that's my dad.
Wow. Yeah.
So we continue to build the bonds within our industry,
Sure.
which are so strong across the nation and really internationally these
And
days.
that's where, same thing with me. I geek out with my son because he's over
That's
at
right.
Carrier. He does the VRF systems. So yeah, it's,
It's
I
just
think
so
the
cool to
women,
see it.
the wives hate it when we get together because we just start talking trade, you
Have
know.
you ever tried not to?
Yeah, I know it. What else
You
you talk
can't.
about?
All of my family was in the business, and I would work really hard to not do it because I didn't want, wives and mom and everybody to be like, is that all y'all do? Because that's all we ever do. And then
Yeah.
30 minutes, you work hard not to do it. Next thing you know, 2 hours later, you're talking about rebuilding a pump somewhere. So
Exactly.
crazy.
And then like that thing that was going on around on LinkedIn, where the guys that go inside like department stores or grocery stores, we can see condensation in the freezer, like that ain't good. Or what's wrong,
Yeah, it's in your blood once it gets in you. I've got a sticker somewhere that says HVAC is like the mafia. You know too much to ever get out.
Exactly.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, thanks again for taking time with us. I hope your new year continues to go well. Are you going to Orlando, by the way?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be
Okay, so
there.
I'll see you down there in a
Yes,
month
sir.
or so. Travel well, be good, take care of the horses, and
Yeah,
all that
man.
good stuff out there on the in the high desert.
You too. Take care, my friend.
And for everybody else, thank you for sticking with us today. I hope you've gained a little insight from my buddy Mike and some of the stuff that he's got going in his world. I love hearing about the Abrams, General Abrams, setting the tone. That's always cool to hear, especially a second generation guy like that. So that's always fun. And if you want more of this, go to gregcrumpton.com. You can click on the little roulette wheel that says podcast. You can go to Apple, Spotify, all those good places where you get your podcast content, as well as don't forget my book, deepknowledge.me is the website. You can order yours from Amazon or from Barnes and Noble. Have a little look at that, see what you think about it. And then that might make you realize how right you are about my wackiness. If you listen to this and read the book, you'll be double dosed. So
Hey, you gonna sign mine in Orlando?
I'm going to
All
sign it, buddy. I'll bring it. I'll bring the
right.
Sharpie. So without further ado, thank you guys for listening. We will see you on the next podcast coming soon. Thank you.